The last several weeks, I have been talking about different ways to be with what's going on right now. There's all the violence in the Middle East, and there's all the polarization and violence and shootings here in the United States, and wars throughout the world, and it's a lot at times. And last week I talked about Milarepa and the demons, and really, and how our practice is to turn towards the experience we're having, turn towards the emotions that are arising, and how to be with it. And you know, there's just been so much going on. It's hard not to be impacted, and so this practice is so important to tend to those emotions, to tend to those feelings and everything that's happening. And last week, even we had to get our house fumigated, so we had to move out and pack food and bring the cats, and that's always a lot of fun. And so there's so much going on. There's so much going on globally and personally. We've got all this happening. And so I think it's valuable to look at that. And I said, you know what, this week I want to talk about joy, and I want to talk about kindness, because I think that's also important. We have to have that balance of joy and wisdom, clarity. And so I wanted to talk about that. And then on Wednesday, my brother died. So that kind of shifted a whole lot of my week and a whole lot of my my experience and my intentions. And so I want to talk about my experience this week, because my experience is grounded in the teachings, is grounded in the practice. Absolutely. And I think without this practice, I would have had a very different experience. And so I just want to talk about, the last few days. My brother had been sick for a while, and he was fading fast. And so it was not really a surprise, but it's always a jolt. I think even when it's expected, it's a jolt. And I'm grateful that he lived in Mexico, and I'm grateful that I get to visit him in May, because he was kind of not doing well. And so what I was acutely aware of was the sensations and the willingness to be present, which has not always been the case for me. When my mother died and I came home from school, my roommates, one of whom is in this little Zoom room today, said, "Your brother called and your mother died." And I said, "Give me a beer." Because that was how I dealt with things back then, was like, can I numb? Can I not feel? Can I just, you know, check out? And so the willingness to cry, the willingness to feel all those feelings, even if they didn't have a name, just to say, wow, what's this? It's almost like it's almost like an out of body experience. And I think that's what it talks about when the practice is to not take it on as like I am, but just, wow, look at this stuff that's here. And let me hold these emotions. Let me hold this grief. Let me hold this also having to do what needed to be done, because we had just come back into the house from being out for 2 days and fumigating and putting things into, you know, cupboards, and the gas man was there turning on the gas. It's so it's like reality and emotions and feelings and walking through, and you know, and so noticing what was there. And then the next morning, for my morning meditation, really being willing to share with others, because that's important too. It's so easy, I think, for some people, at least I know for me, it's easy just to stuff and to hide and to not have to deal, because if you hide, then you don't have to face and you can just put this mask on. Everything's fine. I have a friend who I have a friend who's a performer, and she says everything was always fine in her house growing up. Everything was always fine, and you could tell how bad things were because fine got higher and higher and higher. Everything's fine, but everything, and then everything's fine, 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 everything's fine. And she said eventually only dogs could know what was going on. You know, hear the fine because it was so high, but there was never any deviation from that. And I have a nameplate over here that I'm looking at that I was a temp at this job for a long time. And then when they hired me, they gave me a nameplate and it says Little Mary Sunshine, because that was who I had to be for so long. Everything had to be just fine. So the practice is all about busting up those ideas of ourselves, you know, fixed views. Sakya Ditti, the self-view, the idea of who we think we should be, and instead just be with, just be in this moment. There's no rigid, fixed Mary that has to respond in a particular way or has to, there's no rigid, fixed any of us that has to be a particular way. We have to be present and greet the moment appropriately. Like on Wednesday evening, after all of this, I said, let's just watch some Midsummer Murders, which for those of you who know that, it's a cute English murder mystery that's really sweet and pretty and mindless. And is a, you know what? That is the appropriate thing to do right now. Just relax and be with this beautiful imagery on the TV and try and figure out who done it. And then just go to bed. So that's how we do that. That's how we get through this stuff. And as I said, the next morning, I shared it with the morning meditation group, and it was like really beautiful, because I think I talked a few weeks ago about, you know, Thich Nhat Hanh always talks about interbeing and interconnectedness, and we inter are. And so we share that. You know, we connect with others, but it's our shared humanity, our vulnerability and our willingness to be part of, to share the human condition, to be part of the human race. That is really so important, because when we can access our own humanity, we begin to recognize the humanity in others. There's always humanity in others. It might be well hidden, but to acknowledge that we're all stumbling through this, doing the best we can. And then on Thursday, I had to do some errands. And when I came back, Thursday is our garbage collection day. So we put out the bins on the street. And some of you have heard me talk before about the gun store that's around the corner and how people who park on our street to go to the gun store like to move the garbage cans around so that they can have a parking space. And I came home and I pulled onto the street, and I noticed there was a car, not even in front of my house, but in front of our neighbors. They had just parked in the street in front of the cans so that the trucks would not be able to get to the cans. And I just kind of lost it. So I went marching into the gun store. I looked at the license plate, and I went marching into the gun store, and I started saying, who has an Audi with this license plate? And somebody said, oh, that's mine. And I went, you, and he goes, oh, I didn't realize it. And I'm like, so then the owner of the gun store came, and we went outside, and we had this conversation, and I said, maybe you can put up a sign saying respect your neighbors. He's like, nah. And I was so angry. I was so angry. And I'm not an angry, that's not my go-to, except with this gun store and the parking, because I've shared that before. It's like I go from 0 to 190 in less than a nanosecond. And so I was so angry, and I came back, and it was like, and I kept that cup running through my mind, and I kept thinking about it. And a couple hours later, I was replaying our conversation, and I was thinking about what else, oh, what I should have said, and what hopefully I'll run into him, and then I'll tell him XYZ and blah, blah, blah. And then I stopped and I realized anger, what a great way to deflect grief and sadness. What a great way not to feel what you're feeling. And I realized that. And I was like, okay, let's come back. What's right here? What's right here right now? Can you breathe? Can you be with? And the anger would come back, and then it would go away, and then it would come back, and then it would go away. Or I'd say, oh, let go. It wouldn't go away. I'd have to say, go away. And so just to recognize how we deflect, how we put up barriers to those feelings that may be uncomfortable and that we don't want to feel. And so this is the mindfulness that allows us to walk through if we're willing to pay attention, if we're willing to open and, as I say, gentle awareness. And then yesterday afternoon I had to do a class. I'm on the guiding council at the Insight Community of the Desert, and there's Friday afternoons for 45 minutes, there's an online metta group, and I was asked to lead it yesterday for the person who usually does it. And so I was leading the metta, but when I was talking before we got into the practice, metta is the practice of loving kindness, where you want loving kindness for yourself and others, all beings. And I realized as I was talking before we started the practice, the years and years and years of metta practice, of loving kindness practice, of compassion practice, allowed or created the conditions where I could be gentle with myself this week. Where I could be cancel some appointments that I had yesterday that weren't necessary, tell folks that I couldn't return phone calls right away, I'd get back to them in a day or so, and really just be present for the experience that I was having. An act of kindness and an act of allowing myself some space. That's, I think, again, a direct result of this practice of recreating the conditions for kindness and gentleness and compassion. Because, again, that's not my conditioning. My conditioning is gotta go do, can't cancel that, gotta finish this, blah, 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 instead of allowing myself the space I would allow anybody else in the world. And I heard somebody say that just recently, that she was just recognizing that she doesn't, you know, allow herself space or compassion. You know, I say that a lot because and when I talk about the Metta Sutta, because it says we are, you know, in a nutshell, it's like we wish all beings well. We wish all beings freedom. And there's the phrase that says omitting none. And even though it says omitting none, we tend to leave ourselves out many times. And omitting none includes us. So to bring ourselves back into that. So what I'm recognizing this week and these last few days is that, and I heard, and a couple of people said it in earlier this week in morning meditation, how, and I've heard this over the years, even though You sit in practice, you do the meditation, the mindfulness meditation, you do the heart practices. A lot of times, there's not a direct, you can't directly go from A to B. Like, you can finish meditation and go out and then just be all in your head again or blah, 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 blah. So you go, why am I doing this? I'm not seeing any results. But then a time comes and you're in a situation where you begin, you respond differently from your usual response. It can be a little change. And I like to think about it, you know, it's the how knowledge, how this stuff moves from your head to your heart. You have the intellectual understanding of dukkha and metta and all these things you learn. And then you begin to recognize how they show up in your life. Oh, when I was doing that thing yesterday, it's because I was attached to a particular outcome or something, and that's what caused all the anxiety. And then it get, like I said, it moves from your head to your heart, and then it's how you move through the world. Almost like it's become your new conditioning. So you don't, you almost don't have to think about it. So the practice is practice. It's coming back. It's creating those new neural pathways, those new grooves, those new habitual patterns that take you in a different direction, take you away from dukkha. It doesn't take you away from emotions. It doesn't take you away from loss. It doesn't take you away from any discomfort. But it allows you to be with it with an ease. That's like, who knew? It allows you to be present for whatever unfolds. And so that's the practice. It doesn't happen overnight. Sometimes it does for some folks. But for most of us, it's this willingness to sit, you know, breath after breath, day after day, whatever it is. And then there's the benefit is when something happens, you can just be. You can just be with this equanimity, with this ease, with this gentleness that is, quite a long way from where I was a gazillion years ago, or 30 years ago. It doesn't have to be. We don't have to talk in geologic time. It wasn't that long ago. So I invite you to stay with the practice, you know. Stay with this and begin to notice how it does show up in your life. I think that's really important. You know, we sometimes tend to look for grandiose results. I want the miracle. I want the clouds to part and the light to shine down and the answers to arise. And sometimes it's just, you know, not flipping somebody off on the freeway. You know, sometimes it's just saying, you know what, I'm just going to put my stuff away and relax for a while. Sometimes it's just being kind to another person, taking somebody to the airport, being generous. Watch how this practice shows up in your life. It's slow, but when it happens, it's there. You know, it's a shift that I think tends to stay because it's not, doesn't get there overnight. It's a gradual shifting of your perspective and shifting on how you see the world and interact with it. So thank you so much, my friends, for your kind attention and for your generosity in listening to my few reflections on just the last few days. So thank you so much.
Thank you for visiting Undefended Dharma. These teachings are freely offered. However, if you would like to make a donation to help support the technology that makes these podcasts possible, please visit marystankavich.org/support. Thank you.